Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our morning words of encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you as we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also, of course, ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our morning of encouragement is a ministry of the Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today, in the stead of Brother Roger Jones, Brother Bradshaw will also be presenting our words of inspiration. We ask that you all please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of inspiration, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. I hope that you've already looked outside because it is a beautiful morning somewhat. I think we're supposed to get a little bit of rain later on today, but right now at this particular time that I'm talking to you, it is beautiful outside, and it looked like the temperature yesterday was almost 90 here in Atlanta, Georgia, and so we hope that each one of you have taken the time this morning to get up and go outside, not only just look outside. You know, sometimes we go to the door and we look out to the window or something like that. I'm talking about get up in the morning and just open that door or window and get that real breath of fresh air just that God has provided for us. And then you can start your day. Then you'll be good to go. Well, I'm hoping that each one of you had just an outstanding Mother's Day yesterday. There were several things that took place yesterday. Matter of fact, there are a lot of us whose mother who have passed away and used to, on Sundays, if your mother passed away, you wear a white corsage or flower or something of the sort, and if they were living, you wear a red rose or something to indicate life and death. And we've gotten away from that because I made that statement at church yesterday, and not one had either one of those. And so we've gotten away from that particular tradition. But still, I just hope that some way and somehow that your Mother's Day was okay. Now, we had hundreds of different situations with mothers because we do have mothers who are incarcerated, some probably in the hospital, some of them are probably in hospice, and some of them in rehab, some of them in home care. So there are just thousands of conditions that mothers are in, and we forget about that. Well, most of the time we try to think about the healthy mothers, one who's just up and around and the children coming over the house and taking you out to dinner and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, we went out to dinner and saw a lot of people taking their mothers and stuff out. But there are a lot of people who just confined and can't go, can't do, on the point of death, just all kinds of situations. So, but we still ask God's blessings upon all the mothers in the entire world. This coming Saturday, as a matter of fact, we had some visitors yesterday from West Tennessee down to Fulton, Tennessee, and we're so glad to have them to be a part of our service on yesterday. A week or two ago, we had some people from Loganville to come and visit with us, and we're so glad to have them. Then a week before that, we had some people from Chicago to come and visit. So we're just appreciative to, and most all of these people who come here got relatives here that didn't know the Central was here. So hopefully that's going to be a good thing for us, is that when they come to this city to visit their children, they let them know that we exist, that we are here, and they just didn't know the Central Church of Christ was located where it is. So that's going to be a blessing. This coming Saturday, we're going to have a community walk where we're trying to make the community aware that the church is there and that we are there. That they are welcome at the church, and so we're going to do that this coming Saturday, an outreach into our community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, I want you to just mentally look at these passages, because we're talking about the Word of God can save your soul. And that's one thing yesterday when we talked about mothers, one of the best things that a mother could do is to obey the gospel of Christ and to love the Lord and obey the gospel of Christ. Well, when we do this door knocking thing, we got at least three or four passages that's going to drive us, that's going to push us, that makes us aware of why people need salvation. One of those passages is in Proverbs 6 and verse 16, when the Bible says, six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven things is abomination unto him, a lying tongue, hand to shed innocent blood, feet to be swift to run in mischief, he to sow discord among the brethren, and pretty much all of those kinds of things exist today in 2023. If you look at it, read Proverbs 6 and verse number 16. And you'll see that even though that passage was written over 2,000 years ago, it is still hot and heavy right here in 2023. The next passage that drives us, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulteresses, nor effeminates, nor busy themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been justified, you've been sanctified by the word of God. That passage is one thing that's going to drive us also. Then the next passage is Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, when he tells them about, he lists the whole catalog of sins in that particular passage. And then he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do that you would. These are the passages that's motivating us to do what we do. And then in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him, from the grace of Christ, to another gospel, which is not another, but there'd be some who would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preaching the gospel of news that which you receive, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again. If any man preaching the gospel of news that which you receive, let him be accursed. For do I seek to sway men, or do I seek to sway God? If I seek to sway men, I should not be the servant of God. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that is preached to me and to you, I did not receive it of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the next passage is Luke 8, verse 11, where he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. It is planted, then cometh the devil and take it out of your heart. And listen to this passage. I want you to read Luke 8 and verse 11, because it specifically says that the devil knows why he doing what he doing. It tells us specifically that the devil knows the power of God's word. He said, then cometh the devil and take it out of your heart, lest you should believe, listen to this, and be saved. The devil knows that our obedience, that there's salvation attached to it. And so that's what motivates us, and that's what must drive us. Many people are deceived by false doctrine today, and is claimed by false religion leaders that men are saved by direct operation of the Holy Spirit, or that they are saved by the audible word of God. And that's certainly not true. Many times when you tell people about the Bible and you try to teach them in respect to their soul salvation, you hear the same many statements like, I will not give up all the Bibles in the world for the feeling that I have. And that's what some people say. Well, you know, I was just born in this particular religion or whatever. That's just all I know. But this is why we're trying to share some other things with you. But if I had only one passage in the Bible to tell you about the salvation, it would be in James chapter 1 and verse number 21, when it says, wherefore, let apart all filthiness, superfluousness, and naughtiness, and receive with meekness, listen to this, to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Satan knows that the word of God, some kind of way, is connected to salvation, to the Lord, to going to heaven. And that's why he's trying to get our actions to be right opposite from what God wants us to be, but he's also trying to get that word out of it. He don't want us to even think about reading or studying or comprehending anything that the word of God might say. And that's another thing that you need to understand, too, is that the devil can confuse you as to what the word of God is all about. And that's what he seeks to do. Now, he don't mind you reading the word of God. He just don't want you to understand the word of God. He just don't want you to make your proper interpretation of what the Bible is trying to say. He just don't want you to some kind of way let that word marinate thing, you know, you are trying to obey it, or you're in obedience to it. Now that's where he got a problem, and we need to understand that. So he's not only trying to get our action. You know, some people say the devil made me do it. Well, you're talking about the action You're talking about an action, but I'm talking about sitting down, reading the Word of God. Satan just wants that to happen. In Psalm 119, verse 11, he said, "Thy word has I hid in my heart, that I should not sin against thee." In Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 7, he says, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, and whether they should hear or whether they should forbear," he said, "for they are most rebellious." And so it's God's word that's going to take us into up into heaven. And so in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4, he said, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." I'm trying to tell you what's going to drive us this coming Saturday and always. And that's what drives us even in our services, is these passages that tells us that it's not a direct operation of the Holy Spirit that's going to lead us, and not the audibleness that God is coming down from heaven and talking to us in an individual way, and some of those other kind of concepts. You've got to focus on God's eternal word. It can, and it will, and it has, and it will continue to save an individual. God gives us warning in the Bible about departing from the word of God. In Deuteronomy 4, verse number 2, he said, "You shall not add to God's word." And then he puts it in the middle of the Bible in Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 6. He says, don't add to the word of God. And then he puts it at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and number 18. "Thou shalt not add anything to the word of God, because God would add it unto you." So what does it mean to add to God's word? What does it mean really to add to God's word? Well, one of the first places that we noticed that was in Genesis chapter number 17. Now, when God says not to add to his word, God says, "Look, every tree in the garden you can eat, but the one in the midst of the garden, and you should surely die." Satan comes along, he adds a word to that, the word "not," and that tied up salvation for over 2,000 years before God, before Jesus came and died on the cross. That word "not," now we look at the word "not" like "don't do this" or "quit," "stop," and all that kind of stuff. And, but sometimes we use that word "not" as if it was in a rope or a tie or something like that. And so that's when he added to God's word. No, he said, "No, you won't surely die." Well, they didn't. Death was not a topic of conversation, a focus, or anything. So what would they know about death as dying and going off to face the earth? They didn't know that. But Satan convinced them that what God told them was not true. And so he added to God's word, and they believed it. And so this is what we're trying to tell you today is that we want you to not only be conscious yourself. Now, yesterday we had three daughters to come to church. We have three daughters to come to church. And when I say daughters, most of the time we think it's like a child. No, these are grown people. We had three daughters to come to church yesterday, but their mother was back at home almost on the point of death. Their mother was back at home just barely making it. They had somebody to go to their house and stay with their mother while they was at church. That was a powerful move, I'm telling you. To be at, because most people would take that, "Well, I can't come to church because mama's sick, she's not doing so well," and everything. But no, these people, these girls, these young ladies came to church and worshiped God in spirit and in truth. Well, Jesus loved you, he died for you, and he's coming again, and I hope you have a super duper week.